This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Braves and baseball fans, it's time to take a trip from coast to coast across Major League Baseball.
There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair...
One strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. A perfect game.
Fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes! 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 The Atlanta Braves have given you a championship. Listen to this crowd.
Left side, Swanson to first.
Braves and Baseball Talk, straight from the diamond.
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. And Window Nation. Call the pros at Window Nation at 866-90-NATION.
Here's Grant McCauley.
Hello and welcome to From the Diamond. I am Grant McCauley. These are the Kia Studios of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a Sunday morning. As we continue through the weekend, and the Atlanta Braves unfortunately continue through a rough patch of their season. Another rough patch, to be more precise, and this one may feel a little bit more ominous than the first, if that was even possible. That is a conversation, in short, that we're going to be having today, but there are a lot of tentacles to this thing, so we're going to be trying to unwind and maybe figure out how in the world the Braves can address some of this stuff, because it has been, if you're a Braves fan, a baseball fan, an Atlanta sports fan, of even the most casual level, and you were just hoping to see your hometown team find its way through a successful season. This has pretty much been the exact opposite of that for the Braves. They have faced a lot of adversity, some of which of their own doing, and they have been unable to figure out a way to get themselves on track, consistently scoring runs. And one of the many things I'll tell you on this show, and in general, you got to score more than the other guys if you want to win games, and that just has not been happening for the Braves to the level that they need it to, and quite frankly, to the level that it should be based on the talent that they have collected, the talent in that lineup, the ability that they've shown in the past that it inexplicably become harder and harder and harder to apply to this year. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of questions being asked about how you fix it. We're going to try to get into some of that on the show and at least size up where the Braves are. And unfortunately, to be the bearer of bad news right here off the top, they got an awful lot of catching up to do if they want to get where they want to and set out to at the start of the season, and that is a trip to October. Now, that's a long ways away, and for many people, I think that the prevailing sentiment has been that this does not look like a club that's going to make it to October, let alone have success once it gets there. And it's hard to disagree with that. I mean, I watch this club as closely as just about anybody. I mean, it's what I do. It's what I've done for a long time. Even before I was doing this for a living, I was doing this growing up, watching some Braves teams that, quite honestly, were pretty forgettable in the 1980s. We didn't have a whole lot going on. And then a little something happened in 1991, and I think all of our expectations have been sky high ever since. But the Braves have accomplished a lot over the last 35 years. However, when you look at the 2025 club and you measure it against the expectations of those clubs over the last, let's call it 35 years, to say that they've underperformed and maybe the most underperforming group of that bunch would not be a stretch. The numbers bear it out. Their record bears it out. The inside of the record, I'm going to get into this a little bit later. I spent a lot of time, not because I'm a masochist, but because I'm trying to be a realist about this season, looking at where the Braves are, why they are where they are record-wise, and when the last time was that they found themselves in this kind of a position. So we're going to use history as a little bit of a point of reference, at least for context's sake, and see what it tells us. And one thing that history does tell us is that the Braves have started slow before, and they have figured out a way to turn it around. But again, I think it's the eye test right now and the inconsistency of this offense and the fact that we're not just talking about 2025 couple of bad months. We're tracking this thing back over 13-plus calendar months at this point because the Braves' offense really has not been the same and has not been at its productive level on a consistent basis since the 1st of May, 2024. We didn't want to celebrate that anniversary. Not trying to drag the miseries out over multiple seasons. You can have a bad year. Trust me. Players individually can have a bad year. A team can have a bad year. I think we've all seen and experienced that to some level before. That's all part of baseball. It's unpredictable. You make the best plan that you can over the winter, into the spring, maybe even over the regular season. Things are looking great, and then all of a sudden, baseball takes a sharp left turn and does what it's going to do. And that, in some ways, is the beauty of the game, but it's also the frustration of the game. And I think the Braves have been, unfortunately, subjected to more of the frustrations of the game than the beauty of it here in 2025. And I'm going to dig into it because it's baffling in a lot of different ways. And then in others, when you start to just look at the cold, hard numbers and facts, this team is telling you exactly what it is, and more importantly, is telling you what it is not at this point. And the Braves find themselves in another tailspin as if the 0-7 start to the season wasn't bad enough. They're in the midst of another long losing streak, and they're sinking in the standings because the Mets have picked up their pace of play, and the Braves have picked a really bad time to have another long losing streak. And you look at these National League standings, and things are starting to look a little less than hopeful. And we just turned the calendar to the month of June. We're in, what, the second full week heading into it of this month? And the Braves, if they're not careful, could be double digits back in the wild card race. Not in the East. They're already there on that one. As we talk here on Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and for those of you listening to the podcast a little bit later, a 13-game deficit for the Braves. I got a lot of stats. I'm going to go ahead and give you one of them right now. You want to know the last time the Braves were 13 games out in the division race? It was the second half of 2017 when they were in a little thing called the rebuild, when they did not have a team that was full of all-stars and full of former World Series champions. It was not that. This was a team trying to just figure out how to win games, how to get to 500, and then beyond that, they would take those steps as they became available. But a lot of things have happened in the last 7 years, and that, I think, is kind of where you start to look at how did things get to the level that they are right now, and how did it seemingly happen pretty quickly? I mean, 2023 wasn't that long ago, but as I've talked about on my call-ins on the show and just about anywhere else I talk about the Braves, I think as much as anything, you have to look at 2023 as an outlier of a season because it was the best that it could possibly ever be. You're not going to do that every year, and that's fine. And you're going to hear from Alex Anthopoulos a little bit later because he did a media session at the start of the week as the Braves made a rather curious coaching change decision and brought back the manager of the club prior to Brian Snitker to serve as the third base coach. That's right, Freddy Gonzalez back in a Braves uniform. If I told you that on opening day, I think a lot of people would have been like, wait, what? I mean, even if you like Freddy, and I do, I think he's a great addition to a coaching staff. I think we can understand and accept, hey, maybe he doesn't need to be the manager of the club and maybe that ship has sailed and that's fine. I think he can accept that too, but he can be a net positive if he can hold down that third base coaching job, which became, unfortunately, one of the little pieces that wasn't working right for the Braves. And when you can't change the big pieces on the board, maybe you just do whatever little incremental thing you can. So you had a coaching change in the midst of this week. with Freddy Gonzalez coming back to be the third base coach. But that's not going to be the thing that turns the Braves around. Let's not get it twisted. I don't think anybody was presenting it that way. It's just, it had reached a critical mass. And I think last Friday when the Braves were at home, or Friday before last, I guess, against the Boston Red Sox, and Matt Tuiasosopo sent Ronald Acuna Jr. to score from first, and he would have been out at home plate by about 20, 25 feet, that was just kind of the last straw on those. But you just want to do the things that you can to improve. But it's not the third base coach's fault that the Braves aren't winning close games. It is a collective for this team. And in particular, I have to look at the offense. And we'll talk about the meltdown that happened at Truist Park against the Arizona Diamondbacks on Thursday, because I guess we're obligated to do that as we try to cover the week that was for the Atlanta Braves, however unfun it may be. But it has not been a whole bunch of games where the Braves offense has shown up and scored 10 runs and lost. That is the only time that that's happened this year. It's just been a lot of close games and no margin for error for the pitching staff and an offense that since May 1st of last year ranks in the lower third of Major League Baseball in runs scored, and that occurs right after that 2023 season in which they set franchise records and led Major League Baseball in runs scored. How does it get to that point? Well, I did some digging into the stats. I also asked around. You're going to hear my conversation with Austin Riley a little bit later in this show, because a big part of the Braves and their turnaround in 2022 in particular was they just couldn't seem to get things going, so they had a closed-door meeting. And when they had a closed-door meeting, all of a sudden the Braves just caught fire in the month of June and tracked down the New York Mets and won the National League East, and we had all kinds of fun until we got to the postseason, and then the Philadelphia Phillies unfortunately spoiled the party. But that second half and that drive to the postseason in 2022 is exactly the kind of thing the Braves find themselves in need of here in 2025. But can this club do it? Jury's out. But the prognosis does not look so great just based on the numbers that we're seeing. But I asked Austin Riley about it, about the struggles that these guys have been through for over a year now, the mindset that goes inside of that, and what is the criteria for closing the doors and having a meeting and trying to get yourself on track? Because I've had a lot of people ask me on social media, I mean, is it time for a closed-door meeting? What can Brian Snitker do? What can he say? What can the hitting coach say? What can Alex Anthopoulos say? I don't know that anybody can say anything else. Ultimately, I mean, and you'll hear from Alex Anthopoulos later as well, if they could figure it out and it was as simple as flipping a switch, they would have done it by now. So this is as confounding and baffling as I've seen for a team to be dealing with seemingly the same issue, which is hitting with runners on base primarily and creating a productive offense that can give its pitching staff the foundation to win a baseball game. The pitching staff is not the greatest that the Braves have ever had, but it is more than adequate to have won more games than the Braves find themselves as they head into the series finale against the San Francisco Giants on Sunday afternoon at 27-36 and losers of six in a row. And I believe it's, what, 13 out of 15, 13 out of 16 now? It's quite the tailspin. And that's where the Braves find themselves. And this week was eventful. Much of it was strange and unfortunate with the coaching change. And then you had a former star who made a long-awaited return in a lot of ways to the Braves, even if he wasn't going to be the same as it was back then. I think a lot of folks were kind of looking forward to and curious to see what Craig Kimbrel could offer the Braves. And the Braves' curiosity lasted exactly one inning, as he was called up on Friday, pitched an inning against the Giants, and was designated for assignment on Saturday morning. When I say this season has been baffling, and when I say this season has been frustrating, and when I say this season has been inexplicable, I really would think that calling up Craig Kimbrel just for the purpose of designating him for assignment after one game would go in that boat. And I'll get into that a lot more later. I do have thoughts about that. If you follow me on social media at Grant McCauley, you can probably go ahead and have a general idea of what I feel about that. Because it's not as simple as, well, the Braves just let go of the answer to their bullpen mess. I'm not saying that. But I am very curious about the decision-making process that went into that. And, of course, we'll talk about it on the show because we have 2 hours to do so. But as far as the club, I took a look inside the numbers for the record, for the pace, for the odd side of things to try to make sense of where they are and how they turn things around and what they're going to have to do if they want to get themselves into position to be vying for. I'm not just going to look at the National League East, because as the New York Mets sit with a 13-game lead over Atlanta right now, whether or not some crazy Yahoo media personality in New York declares the division over is irrelevant at this point. If the Braves want to get themselves into playoff contention in the wild card, they've got some pretty serious work to do, just based on what it looked like last year, even with the expanded postseason format. And I'll talk all about that as we go. But none of this stuff is going to happen unless the Braves are able to start hitting again. They aren't scoring runs on a consistent basis. And as we'll get into, their one big day at the plate went up in smoke because close games have been unkind to this Braves club. The bottom line, it continues to be the inability to hit with runners in scoring position and put up consistent run production in general. And until that changes, I don't see much that's going to be able to change in the one-loss department. That is where the Braves are at. But we'll dive into all of that in This Week in Braves Baseball. You will hear from Austin Riley, Alex Anthopoulos, and Eli White, who I had a chance to catch up with over at Truist Park this week. We will discuss the return of Freddy Gonzalez, the return and immediate dismissal of Craig Kimbrell, and much more. And I'll be joined by Anthony Castrovince for a trip around the big leagues. That will be coming up on this week's show. So we'll get into This Week in Braves Baseball as we continue on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Back to Grant McCauley for more From the Diamond. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate. 855-299-SOLD. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios on a Sunday morning as we close out the weekend and what has been a frustration thus far, this road trip for the Atlanta Braves, and a season of frustration for them as well. They're going to try to avoid a sweep in San Francisco, and then they have to face a Brewers team that has started to come to life as well, so this is not going to be a much easier run for the Braves. Brewers have won 8 out of 10. We'll talk about the rest of the road trip as we go along here on From the Diamond. As always, I want to remind you, before we get too far into this and before we launch into This Week in Braves Baseball, of which I think we've set up pretty well thus far, that the conversation is going to be more of the unfun variety. But you can follow along with me on social media. Find me at Grant McCauley on most. Also, subscribe to From the Diamond wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, you can find it on the Odyssey app where you'll find all of the great things that 92.9 The Game has going on. So I encourage you to download that and follow along there as well. Now, as far as what this week in Braves baseball was, it was a series of losses for this Atlanta club. As far as what it needs to be, well, I'm here to tell you, more consistent is the word for that. The futility in one-run games is the telling sign for this club. The Braves are 9-18 in one-run games this year. They have played by far the most one-run games in all of baseball with 27 of those. And the Braves' fate, I think, as you look at this, if you want to talk about the what-if of it all, could be altered by as little as 15, maybe 20 more runs over the course of the 63 games that they've played. If you could pick the night to add a couple to the tally, how much different it would look. Of course, baseball doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. But the Braves' margin for error has been so razor thin that they have found themselves as one of the two clubs in the National League with a positive run differential and a losing record. And that is not an easy thing to do. There's usually only a handful of clubs across Major League Baseball that find themselves in that boat. The Cincinnati Reds are the other one, in case you're wondering. They're 32-33 with a plus 36 run differential. The Braves, meanwhile, 9 games under 500 at 27-36 with a plus 4 run differential. You'll hear a little bit from Alex Anthopoulos a little bit later in the show from when he talked to the media on Monday, which was precipitated by the coaching change that the Braves made at third base, bringing in Freddy Gonzalez, reassigning Matt Tuiasosopo to be a minor league infield coordinator for them. But he did talk about some of the other things, including the slow start for the Braves, the A.J. Smith-Shawver injury, the Marcelo Zuna injury deal that he is currently trying to play through, and much more. And we will get into that. But one of the things that Alex pointed to in terms of slow start and why he's not maybe as concerned as some is, he's looking at that run differential and thinking, okay, just like I said, winning clubs typically have a positive run differential. It's usually of the many indicators. But I do think you have to get inside these numbers and look a little bit more at what's not happening and why are the Braves playing so many one-run games. And even if their run differential is positive, why that might be misleading. It's misleading because they're in the bottom third of the league in runs scored. That certainly doesn't help. For starters, as we've talked, as we will continue to build our entire case upon, you got to score more runs than the other guys if you want to win games on a regular basis. That is a thing that the Braves have struggled with at times, and particularly the streakiness that we're seeing here in a winless month of June so far, and, of course, all the way back to the first two series of the season when the Braves were swept out west by first the Padres, then the Dodgers. Braves aren't enjoying the state of California too much. You want to know one of the reasons they're 9 games under 500? Because they're 0-9 against the Padres, Dodgers, and Giants thus far this year. Now, you're not competing against the state of California, although it feels like it with the Dodgers that everybody's competing against maybe the state of California if you want to get through the National League, and maybe that is true. But in terms of the regular season, you got to do a whole lot more than that. But that's just one of the many stats inside of what the Braves have not been able to do this year. But yeah, as you look at this, a week that got off to an unexpected start with the return of Freddy Gonzalez, who, if you'll remember, I mean, he in the middle of the rebuild, the Braves decided to change managers in May of 2016. Freddy Gonzalez was dismissed, and Brian Snitker was brought in. Snit had been in the organization for, what, at that time, just over 40 years, had been a third base coach at the major league level for Bobby Cox, for Freddy Gonzalez, I believe, even, as well. And the two had quite a friendship. So that had to be a bit of a bittersweet circumstance because Freddie, while nobody ever wants to lose their job, is not going to begrudge Brian Snitker for getting an opportunity with a lifetime of service in the game to finally become a major league manager. It was kind of, you know, one of those feel-good stories, if you will, to see Brian Snitker, the lifer, get that opportunity and then do what the Braves have done over the last 7 years, going to the playoffs and winning the World Series in 2021 and all those things. But some of those memories and some of those highs feel so far away from the Braves right now because even though they've won in the regular season in 22 and 23, to a lesser extent in 24, they've gotten to the postseason all those times and they've been bounced twice by the Phillies and once by the Padres. So obviously the, I don't know, sense of urgency to win in October again, the desire flat out to win in October, I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Winning in the postseason, winning championships, and the Braves seem to have a roster to do that, so why can't they seem to put those pieces together? Who is to blame for this, the last year, year and a half, that the Braves have been suffering through, especially offensively? Because you've already dismissed one hitting coach, and it was the hitting coach that was presiding over that 2023 club that seemingly couldn't do anything wrong until it forgot how to hit in the 2023 playoffs. But then 2024 was just a crazy role reversal, this course correction. And I don't know how to explain what isn't working right now or why it's not working, but I think we all know what is not working. That's the order I want to say that in. But with this whole coaching change at the start of the week, you might have thought that was going to be the one big story for the Braves in terms of, like, movement, roster moves and changes. But it took a backseat relatively quickly because it's been another tough week for the club between the lines as they are winless in June thus far. And these losses come in all shapes and sizes. But what happened on Thursday afternoon was by far the worst of the bunch for the Braves. They scored 10 runs. They were up 6 runs with 2 outs to get in the ninth inning and lost 11-10 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, we're not here to do an autopsy of that game, but as you may have already heard, the note about how infrequent it is to be up by 6 or more through 8 innings and lose a game, the Braves hadn't done that since 1973, and Willie Mays had the game-winning hit for the Mets that day. Yeah, Willie Mays played for the Mets. Many of you may have known that. Some of you may not have. But that was a thing. The fact that Willie Mays was involved in the game, and so was Hank Aaron for that matter, just lets you know how long it's been. 52 years. 766 times the Braves took a 6-run lead to the ninth inning, or more, 6 or more runs, and they hadn't lost a game until Thursday. And that is just kind of a microcosm of what the Braves season has been at its worst. I said on social media, that feels like rock bottom. If we're looking for it, I think we found it. And maybe rock bottom is less of just a singular place and more of a holding area that you just continue to explore and decide and find out exactly how much worse it can get, because it has gotten worse for the Braves since then as they lost on a wild pitch on Friday night. And then on Saturday, you get the game of his life from Bryce Elder, needing to have somebody step up. Bryce Elder says, I'm going to step up. He does it. 8 innings of one-run ball with a career-high 12 strikeouts. You take a 2-1 lead to the ninth and lose on a walk-off homer. And both of those games, Friday and Saturday, you didn't use the guy who's supposed to be your closer, because I think they've reached the point at this point, and it wasn't too long ago, I was thinking, it's got to turn around for Raisel Iglesias, right? Wrong. It has not. It may still. I don't know. But you can't keep running him out there in close games. Now, I said this the other day, and I don't know why. I mean, certain people, I guess, look at it certain different ways, but Raisel Iglesias never should have pitched in the game on Thursday. But that you win as a team, you lose as a team. And he certainly played a part in losing the game by being the guy who gave up the go-ahead runs. And he has most definitely been inconsistent this year to the point where he's become unreliable, and you just can't afford to have a liability trying to get the final 3 outs when you basically have one run to work with day after day after day after day after day as far as the lead is concerned. And Raisel went from a 194 ERA a year ago to a 675 ERA this year. And even though he started to keep the ball in the ballpark now, he's still giving up hits and he's still giving up runs. And I think at this point, you just have to kind of hit the reset button there and give him some time to pitch in some different situations and hopefully get himself righted. His strikeout rate, his walk rate are pretty much what they were a year ago. That would lead me to believe that he's doing a lot of the same things, but he's had to scrap his slider because it's been getting deposited over the wall too often this year. And now he's just trying to work a different way. And that might take time. And taking time to do it for a guy that you're counting on to be the most reliable part of your bullpen, basically, when you had a lot of other pieces that needed to, I think, be figured out this year, to put it kindly, you couldn't afford this Raisel Iglesias thing, and this is exactly what's happened. You want to look at a 9-18 record in one-run games? Look at a struggling closer who's blowing saves and losing games as well. And again, if you score more runs, maybe some of these are different. But there's no way around the struggles of Raisel Iglesias, and I just don't think the Braves can afford to send him out there in the ninth inning time after time after time to get him right. They're going to have to reset this a little bit and give him the opportunity to at least clear his head and then get back to work, because he's going to have to play an important role, I believe, before this year is over. But in the flurry of bullpen moves after that game, the 11-10 game in which the Braves gave up 7 runs in the ninth inning, Craig Kimbrell was called up from AAA Gwinnett. And that return, I think, folks had been at least curious about, if not anticipating, because, hey, it's Craig Kimbrell. If you ever saw what he did in a Braves uniform, clearly, you might be invested in wanting to see if that guy still got it. And I think that that was really the question about Craig Kimbrell, and really the storyline for when he signed that minor league deal in spring training. Does he still have it? Are we going to find out? Can he help the big league club? And then as the bullpen started to become more and more and more unstable, I think the curiosity, I guess, got the best of the Braves. At least for 24 hours it did, because they called him up, and this return was ill-fated. He joined the club in San Francisco and did Kimbrell. He pitched on Friday night. It wasn't a very sharp inning. He was basically throwing 91, 92 miles an hour, which is 5-6 miles an hour off of what he's been able to throw throughout the majority of his career in his heyday, certainly, and just didn't seem to be consistent. But I will say this. It was one outing. Was that really all it took? Because I'm of the opinion, if you were just going to cut him after one game and you weren't convinced he could help you to begin with, why even go through this exercise? Just call up Austin Cox to begin with and let Craig Kimbrell continue to work down in AAA. Because if you were this unenthused about what you saw, it wasn't any different than what he was doing in the minors for the most part. I've looked at his velocities and followed along with that, and it didn't seem like this was anything to be unexpected about the Craig Kimbrell experience thus far. And look, the fact that we're having to spend a lot of time talking about what would amount to kind of a smoke and mirrors routine from a once dominant closer to maybe, possibly, perhaps help you out in the bullpen, that says everything you need to know about the state of the bullpen. And it's not because Pierce Johnson and Dylan Lee and Baseball Hernandez, who's now on the injured list, that was also in the flurry of moves this week. It's not because they don't have anybody that can get outs in the bullpen. It's because they don't have enough guys that can consistently get the outs, because they lost Joe Jimenez, because they don't have A.J. Minter anymore, and because some of the pieces that you brought in to help out just haven't been able to, I think, take those roles and run with it. I mean, it's difficult to find good help in the bullpen, and I'm sure that if the Braves are in a place where they need some, Alex Anthopoulos is going to go try to find it at the trade deadline. And he's done it before. He's rebuilt the bullpen before, but where in the world are the Braves going to be at the trade deadline? I mean, honestly, in 6 or 7 weeks, given the way that things have been trending right now, you got to be feeling that kind of, you got to have that sinking feeling in your stomach about how much worse can this thing get. And losing the one-run games and having the bullpen be a part of that, sure. I'm going to point to the offense, though, every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And the guys that I talked to over the past few weeks and really the past season, they're all aware they got to score more. They got to do more in situations where they have the opportunities to break a game open, because when they don't, and this is happening time and time and time again, you're finding out that those opportunities that go by the wayside are the ones that are costing you the game. Loading the bases with nobody out and scoring one run or no runs. Getting guys second and third and not scoring a run with nobody out in an inning. You know, it's not going to be perfect. And it's not a video game. Like, you're not able to just force the result. But whatever it is for the Braves that's not working about their process, not working about the results that are generated from it, they're going to have to figure out a way to adjust it. That's for sure. The bullpen barely holding it together, though. The stress on them is compounded by the lack of run support. It's their job, but every game can't play out this way, can it? I guess that's a rhetorical question about the Braves here. We got a lot of the things that we're going to talk about as we continue on From the Diamond with This Week in Braves Baseball. Unfortunately, not a lot of it is good. A lot of it is quite frustrating, because that has been the story of the Braves season thus far. So when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about the starting rotation, the injury for A.J. Smith-Shawver, the Spencer Strider experience thus far this year, which has been anything but what I'm sure Spencer Strider and others wanted. And we'll hear from Austin Riley and Eli White, who I caught up with this week at Truist Park, for a little chat about what's going on with the Braves individually and collectively here in 2025 as they try to turn their season around. This is From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, back to more From the Diamond. From the Diamond, it's brought to you by Window Nation. Get two windows free with every two you buy and pay nothing for 2 years. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
This is From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, live from the Kia Studios as we continue discussing, dissecting, if you will, this week in Braves baseball, because goodness knows, trying to figure out the make heads or tails of things or what exactly this club is going to need to do to turn it around is easier asked and more difficult to find that answer to, that's for sure. Want to talk a little bit about the rotation for a moment, because in addition to all the other news that was going on, the comings and goings, in some cases both, for certain members of the Braves this year, or this week rather, it's the end of the year for A.J. Smith-Shawver, who's going to be having season-ending surgery on his right elbow. They're going to find out if he needs Tommy John or the UCL brace like Spencer Strider had a year ago, once they get in and open them up. So the imaging was kind of inconclusive, I guess, and they're going to try to figure that out. Now, the difference in return times, typically Tommy John is, I think, about 16 months at this point, whereas the UCL brace can be right around a year. And that's where Spencer, of course, in terms of his comeback to the Braves, a little bit over a year. But for A.J. Smith-Shawver, I mean, it's nothing short of a disappointment when you had the opportunity to come in and carve out a role, and it seemed like he was kind of running with it. For the time being, he made 9 starts this year, finished with a 3.86 ERA start, certainly not his best, but prior to that, he had looked pretty sharp. And hopefully he'll be able to get back to the Braves and perhaps maybe be a factor in the second half next year, but that remains to be seen. A speedy recovery, as speedy as this kind of thing can be, to A.J. Smith-Shawver. Now, that created an opportunity that we saw on Saturday could be taken by Bryce Elder, who ran with it. And Bryce has had a couple of good starts since he came back up. I know he gave up the 3 runs against the Red Sox early in that start, first one back from Gwinnett, but that was it. He was able to pitch into the 6th inning again, able to keep the Braves in a ball game, and he did that and then some on Sunday. It was an absolutely tremendous and much-needed appearance by Bryce Elder. I think best start of his young career. 8 innings, 1 run on 3 hits, no walks, and 12 strikeouts. Gave up 1 solo homer. It came by Wilmer Flores. The Giants were able to scratch across in the first 8 innings. Unfortunately, they had another homer up their sleeve against Pierce Johnson in the 9th inning and walked off to seal the series. And now the Braves find themselves, once again, trying to avoid a sweep, trying momentum, and trying to find the answers in what has continued to be problems in one-run games. That's 4 consecutive games decided by 1 run for the Braves. Those have gone in the loss column as they have lost the first 6 games of the month of June. None of this, obviously, is ideal. But I did have a chance at Truist Park this week to catch up with a couple of Braves and just kind of discuss what's going on. And as we talked about the struggles of the offense, I wanted to get the inside perspective in here through the highs and the lows for this club and sometimes the lows that were right before those highs. So I chatted with Braves third baseman Austin Riley a few days ago, trying to get a little bit of insight on, look, if this club feels like it's time to have one of those closed-door meetings, what is the criteria for that? And, of course, what exactly the Braves can do to get themselves back on track offensively. This is individually and collectively with runners in scoring position. Here's my chat with Braves third baseman Austin Riley.
A big part of that 22 team, a big part of that was the closed door meeting that you guys have. And you know the context of these things and what goes into that kind of deal. How do you decide, I guess, as a group or individually and then collectively when it's time to maybe just all circle? And
you know, our pitching's been good. So, you know, it's the hitting. You know, and we've had conversations in our hitters meeting when of how, you know, how do we just kind of relax a little bit and so, like I said, that gut feeling will tell you that. But like I said, our pitching's been good, so it's all on our, you know, us hitters. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, just, you know, you got to – the biggest thing that I'm seeing is just when you're in the box, you know, guys are in scoring position. You know, obviously you hadn't got it done. You know, it's in your mind.
Yeah.
And I think you're seeing that. Guys are wanting to do it more than anything and you know, just not getting their pitch. I think, you know, just be a little bit more, just a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more patient in the box. You know, I try to get in a spot where I partially think like, hey, you know, it's just me and the pitcher out there. Nobody's on the bag. Let's just have a good at bat. Whatever happens, let's just put a barrel on a ball. And after that, you can't control it. And that seemed to have helped some, you know, yeah.
Consistency goes into the work that you guys put into it. So clearly that part is there.
Yeah.
Is it just and I've talked to you a lot. I've talked to other guys a lot about it. It feels like that part really never wavers. The results, of course, may vary.
Yeah.
And the opposition plays a role in that. Do you feel like they're attacking you guys differently than years past?
So they brought a stat to us yesterday. It was like 0-0 counts. And I can't remember correctly if it's like slugging or I think it may be average. Like we're like 23rd in the league. But then 0-1 counts, we're like 6th in the league. And then 1-0 counts, we're like back to like down to 20th. So I think guys are just, you know, maybe being a little, like I said, 0-0, 1-0, too careful. And like I said, there's no, to me nowadays, there's no hitters count.
Right.
So I think it's just like fine-tuning a little bit of that approach side of just like, hey, I'm going to be, you know, uber aggressive but also controlled and try not to, you know, at the same time you're trying to, you know, name of the game as a starting pitcher to get the pitch count up, so you're trying to see pitches, and I feel like they're attacking us a little bit more early, so I think, like I said, just let's be a little bit more aggressive. We, you know, myself included, missing some fastballs, so it's like, let's get back on the fastball, on the attack, and trust our eyes to check off one of those stuff.
I imagine you go back and look at some of those and it's like, there it was.
Yeah, like last night, my last at bat. It's like I missed a couple fastballs right down the middle. I think I hit his best pitch for a base hit. It's like, you know, I got a hit, but at the same time, it's like, you know, let's not miss those fastballs when I get them.
That might be the simplest way to summarize. Let's not miss our hittable pitches when we have them. And it has felt like a lot of that Austin Riley was talking about has been true of not just him, but of the team. When you talk about being in the lower third in the league as far as hitting in 0-0 counts, I mean, that's one of the many things that you can look inside the numbers and say, okay, do we need to change our approach? Because that, I think I've been asked about a lot, is how can they change their approach? Well, you can go up hunting early, which I think was really a hallmark of the 2023 team. And I'd have to go through and really dig the stats out and see how much different it is now. But clearly they've noticed a trend. And if it's made it to the Braves hitters meetings and they are discussing, okay, well, how can we maybe take advantage of earlier counts and do damage before we're in the 0-1, 0-2, 1-2. And Austin said there may not be as much of a traditional hitter's count anymore just because of the way the game has evolved. The guys throw harder. There's, you know, more spin than ever, all those kinds of things. But there are, I think, more advantageous counts where maybe things are a little bit more level. And I think you could start there and just try to reverse engineer this thing and maybe put together some better at-bats. But that's just the insight of one of the Braves' better hitters and one of the guys that's seen it, I think, at the lowest that it's been over the past couple of years and also the highest of highs and what clutch hitting can do for a team, particularly if you're able to get on a run and remain hot through the month of October. Now, Austin Riley, we always expect big things from each and every year. That's why he is who he is. One of the guys who's been helping the Braves out and playing, I think, an important role in trying to stabilize the outfield mix, particularly before Ronald Acuna Jr. got back, was Eli White. The veteran, fourth, fifth outfielder for the most part, pressed into some pretty regular duty this year, and I think he's played, an important role in trying to keep things going for the Braves. I got a chance to chat with Eli at Truist Park this week, and I invite you to take a listen to that.
Ask you a little bit about your season. I mean, obviously, coming into camp, you kind of look at it as a new opportunity, trying to see where you're going to fit and the goals to make the big league club. Now, as you kind of reflect on the last couple of months, what has this ride been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. Yeah, like you said, goal coming into camp was just to make the team and prove value and try and help the team where I can, and was able to get some opportunity to play there for a little while, and felt like I did a good job, and, you know, it was fun to get those opportunities and help the team where I can, and whatever my role looks like going forward, you know, I'll be ready to go and ready to help the team.
Yeah, you bring a lot of versatility in a number of different ways. You can run, you can play the outfield, you can play the infield, and all of those are things that could help you find those opportunities. What has the process been like to kind of stay ready for whatever you're asked to do?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different situations, whether that's pinch running, pinch hit, defensive replacement, whatever. So there's a lot. And then playing the infield as well, you know, having versatility is something that I've always felt like could be a skill set for me. And so I was thankful and happy that going into spring training, they wanted to see me play infield, and I was able to show that I could do that if you know, it shakes out and they need me in that situation for whatever reason. But yeah, you know, it takes a lot of work taking ground balls, staying on top of the outfield, and then just mentally just being prepared and trying to stay sharp on the bench, you know, when I'm in that role, to, you know, play situations out when I might get my name called and stuff like that, to be ready.
When you go into an off season and you're looking for ways to improve and change and whatnot, what kind of things are you kind of focused on? I guess maybe taking what you learned from the previous year and seeing where you can implement those changes. I know a lot of guys spend a lot of time on their swing. Obviously, you want to be ready in that regard. Anything that you uncovered over the winter that kind of helped you to find some of the success that you've enjoyed this year?
Well, I think it's been a few years coming. Stuff I've been working on with my swing, and felt like I had a great season last year in AAA and limited opportunities up here. And so a lot of it was just kind of looking back at what I did well and trying to improve on those things. And so, yeah, a lot of work on my swing. And then always, like, speed's a skill set of mine, and so I'm always working on speed and agility and trying to get faster and making sure that my legs are healthy going into a long season, that, you know, I can help the team in that way for the long season.
Talk to me a little bit about the torpedo bat. Is that something that you're still using? When did it get on your radar? Yeah. And what has that been like from, I guess, years of using what I guess you'd call a traditional bat,
right,
to something that's maybe a little bit new and a little bit innovative?
Yeah, so it was, you know, something that Calvin, our head clubby, you know, when everything broke at the beginning of the season about the Yankees using torpedo bat and all that, he asked who would want to try some, and he ended up ordering guys some. And yeah, it was just something I wasn't really playing much at the time, so I had a few days to swing with it, and I just liked how it felt. I didn't really have a bunch of data on whether I'd actually swung it better or was hitting the ball harder necessarily, but I just liked the way it felt, and had a little bit of a bigger barrel than the bat I'd been swinging, but it felt a little lighter, so I felt like that could only be a good thing. So yeah, I'm still using it, and it's just, I wouldn't say it's like a fix-all for sure. It's still a bat, but definitely can be a tool, and I think it's been helpful for me.
Yeah, and always looking for ways to find those little things that can help you along the way in a long season. Speaking of which, for the Braves, obviously the expectations coming into the year, they remain the same, even if the results haven't been what you guys have wanted thus far. How is the general feeling, I guess, and the vibe of this clubhouse as you've kind of had to go through some highs and lows thus far this year? You know you've got a decent amount of the season left, but I'm imagining as the days tick off the calendar, you start to feel a little bit of urgency as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we feel urgency every time we come to the field, and that's what's good about this group, and that's why I feel like this group is going to finish really strong, is everybody's always coming in ready to work and takes it one day at a time. And like you said, the results haven't been exactly what we wanted to this point, but, you know, everybody's working hard, and things, you know, we're getting our team back and guys are healthy, and So we're gonna get this thing turned around and get it back on track.
I know there's only so much you can do individually. Collectively, it kind of has to all add up to what you guys want it to. But do you still see the dedication, the work, the things that go into turning this kind of thing around, even if this has been going on for quite some time?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, like guys, this group is a bunch of hard workers and guys that want to win. And so everybody shows up every day looking to win that day and what they need to do individually to collectively win. And so it's also very guys like that fun and guys, you know, there's not super high, super lows with this team, even when things are going not great, you know, guys are staying even, staying positive, and I think that's really important because things can spiral quickly, but this team isn't like that. So everybody stays even keeled and comes to work every day and ready to go.
Thanks, Braves outfielder Eli White. Appreciate the time. Look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Grant.
Great to catch up with Eli White this week. He has, again, kind of stepped in where the Braves needed him to, and they've had to call upon a few different pieces to fill those voids, if you will. And now with Ronald Acuna Jr. back, maybe he can help out some in left field where the Braves' numbers are just not what they need to be, and we'll see how exactly they want to approach that, because at some point here, in a little less than a month, they're going to have the Jerickson Profar discussion, but that is not one that we have to have today. But if you told me that Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to come back and the Braves are immediately going to go 3-11 after basically climbing to above 500 right before he got back, I would have made you show me the math. And now looking at the math, looking at the scores of these games, it continues to be one of the most confounding and frustrating things about this club. But I think we all knew one guy walking through the door wasn't going to change this entire thing. When we come back, we will hear some from Braves general manager Alex Anthopoulos, who spoke to the media earlier this week on a variety of topics, and continue our discussion of what's going on with the Atlanta Braves, and more importantly, how in the world do they fix it? It comes your way next on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music. Or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.